It's yours.
Well, hey, we're glad that everybody's here tonight. Very much appreciate your presence. Yes, I wore this shirt to keep your attention. No, I really didn't. But what I hope to accomplish is what I set out to when I put this lesson together, and that is to give you something that you can use tomorrow. You know, a lot of times you get lessons and we'll study things and talk about stuff that it may not affect you, you know, right now. It might not affect you for years to come. But this topic is pertinent to every single one of us today. You know, the top of the outline, it says the virtue of punctuality. And some people, when I've preached on this, have asked me, you know, is this really relevant? Is it something that we really ought to study the Bible? And does the Bible really say anything about punctuality? And I'd propose to you that it does. You know, the world, I pulled some other quotes of, you know, important people in the world. Punctuality is a stern virtue of men of business and the graceful courtesy of princes. Edward G. Balder. Thomas Halliburton wrote, punctuality is the soul of business. The one that I kind of like the most, Horace Mann said, unfaithfulness in keeping an appointment is an act of clear dishonesty. You may as well borrow a person's money as his time. Now, how many of you can think of a point in time that you'd like to have back? Anybody besides me? You know, there are things that we do that we would like to get back. And the thing about punctuality, and what are we talking about? When we say punctuality, what are we talking about? Being on time. It's important because we're talking about other people's time. We tell people how important they are to us by how we keep appointments with them. How important is it for a business for their employees to be on time? Is it important? Absolutely. You know, most companies have rules that you've got to be on time or there are consequences. Are there consequences for our lack of punctuality in spiritual matters? Do you think? I believe there are. If you look at the outline, something that we talked about this morning about time in the lesson, it's important because there is so little of it. Something that I thought about this morning when we were studying during the sermon was how many times there were things that I wasted time. Times that I let things go. I didn't do the important thing. And I did something that wasn't as important. And how I wish that I could get that back. Can you ever get it back? No. Time's important. You know, we read most of these verses this morning, Job 14. Verse 1 and 2 says, man who is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. He comes forth like a flower and fades away. He flees like a shadow and does not continue. You know, at this point in your life, time, sometimes it seems to stand still, doesn't it? It seems like the things are going really slow, especially when you're doing something you don't want to do. But the older you get, the more important that you begin to understand how important the minutes are and the important things. We'll get into what I'm racing through my mind here in just a minute. I'm kind of like the cross-eyed discus thrower. I don't set any records, but I'll keep your attention, okay? Others' time should be respected. We need, in order to respect other people, we've got to respect their time. And Romans chapter 12 is the next verse we've got here. Romans 12 and verse 10 says, "Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another." Now, what do we tell other people when we're late?
Make excuses.
Okay, we make excuses. But what do we really tell them? Well, we ought to.
They're less important than whatever else we're doing.
That they're less important than whatever else that we're doing. And we, unintentionally, a lot of times, that's what we tell. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3. It says, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself." Here's an area where we can do that. You know, if we don't, maybe we don't have a lot of opportunities to show people how important that they are to us. We can be on time when we're supposed to be, wherever it is that we're supposed to be. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24 is a verse that precedes verse 25 that we talk about a lot in terms of not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. But it says, "Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works." If we come in consistently late, what do we stir up in the minds of others?
Distraction.
Destructive thoughts. Are we stirring up love and good works? No. When, as you look at the outline, when we disrespect others' time, we violate the golden rule. What's the golden rule?
Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you.
That's right. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Absolutely. And do we want others to be on time when they make an appointment with us? Absolutely. And we should expect the same from each other. If we really love, care about, and consider one another. Lack of punctuality is a violation of the greatest commandment. And I had a person that actually approached me and said, I think you're stretching this a little bit. I don't think I'm stretching it at all. If you look at Mark chapter 12, Mark 12 and verse 28, "Then one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving he had answered them well, asked him, 'Which is the first commandment of all?' And Jesus answered him, 'The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second like it is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Now when we're not punctual, we're not on time, what does that tell God? What is it, you know, that's more important to me that takes my time than God? Is it more important that your hair be perfect? Is it more important that, you know, that your car is clean? I've seen people late because they stopped to wash their car before they came to church. Does God care about how dirty your car is? Now, I think if, you know, if it's habitual and everything about your life is a mess like that, you may have another problem. But God doesn't care about whether your hair is in perfect condition or your tie's on just right. What He's concerned about is your heart. And if you let other things come between you and serving God first, you've violated this greatest commandment. And the second one, like it, as Jesus said, in loving your neighbor. So recognizing the problem should motivate us to examine our priorities. And do we? How often should we examine our priorities?
Every chance we get.
That's right. You know, any time that we find our mind wandering, we should ask ourselves what's important. How many of you today have asked yourself, what is the most important thing for me today? You know, I think it's great that you guys are here and we turned off the TV set because that game is not going to have a detrimental or positive effect on any of us. And unless, like I was talking to you guys earlier, you've gambled on it, and then we've got to talk about something else. And what is important? And isn't worshiping God important enough that we make it a priority, enough that we plan to be on time? Why are people late? Give me some reasons why people are late.
Kids.
Okay. That's one.
Sleeping.
Wives, husbands.
Oh, the other end. Yeah. I've lived in both.
Sleepy.
What else?
Don't pay attention to the time. Just kind of lose track of time.
Yeah. Not paying attention.
The computer.
I
mean, like if you're doing something else, like Mark said, you're distracted.
Okay. Are any of, or all of those, problems that could be planned around? Yeah. You know, Debbie and I had three kids. And at one point, they were all in diapers. You know, and we had to deal with that. How do you deal with having three kids on Sunday morning to get up and be to worship on time? You get up early. You start laying out and planning everything the night before. You know, we had a strategy. How do you deal with husbands and wives? Well, sometimes you make them mad. She got mad at me this morning. Why do you keep checking on me? It's just part of the process. You know, we've got to set those priorities and make sure that everybody around us understands. If people don't understand or agree with your priorities, are they going to help you to meet your anticipated time? No. You know, maybe it's in the outline. Maybe you think that nobody really cares. But be realist. If somebody tells you, I'm going to meet you somewhere at a certain time and they're not there, what do you start thinking?
What happened to them?
What happened to them? Where are they? You know, any of you, have you ever done this? Tap your foot, start kicking things because somebody's not there. Everybody cares. God cares. Look at Malachi chapter 1, starting in verse 6. It says, a son honors his father and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my reverence? Says the Lord of hosts. To you priests who despise my name, yet you say, in what way have we despised your name? You offer defiled food on my altar, but say, in what way have we defiled you? By saying the table of the Lord is contemptible. And when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Offer it then to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably? Says the Lord of hosts. But now entreat God's favor, that he may be gracious to you while this is being done. By your hand, will he accept you favorably, says the Lord of hosts. You know, who's the most important, influential person that you could meet? That's a human being. We're not talking about God now. The most influential human being that you could meet. And they set a time for you to meet him. Would you be on time? If you'd be on time for that person, why not be on time for God, for worship, and for all the others around you? Why are some habitually late? It's like we talked about, we don't plan to be early. Now, when I looked up some more, because I love quotes. I mean, Larry probably sees some of mine on Facebook. I love quotes. I put quotes on my Facebook constantly. But I looked up some more earlier today on punctuality, and there's one of them that says, punctuality is the virtue of bored. I thought, well, that's an interesting concept. There's a person who's never had a job. There's a person who doesn't know the value of being responsible. Punctuality is the virtue of the bored. And there were comments on that one. Of all kinds of people agreeing. What does that say about our culture? You know, a lot of people say it doesn't matter. But just like most things in the world, what doesn't matter to the world matters to God. Look at Ephesians 5. And we read this morning. Ephesians 5, 15 and 16. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Make the most of every single minute. Parents with small children, I tell them this all the time. Take advantage of every minute that you have with your children. Because someday they're going to grow up like you guys, and they're going to go somewhere else, and you won't have that time anymore, and then it'll be too late. Plan to be early. Colossians 4, verse 5, we read that this morning too. Walk in wisdom towards those who are outside, redeeming the time. What would it tell somebody that was not a member of the church if you came in to worship late and they were visiting? You see, our actions have an impact on everybody. The word, well, it's on the outline. You guys read that. That Greek word there. To buy up for oneself, which is translated redeem. Buying up the opportunity. Making the most of every opportunity. Turning each to the best advantage, since none can be recalled if missed. And what do people say about a first impression? How many chances do you get? One. And there are people who are watching us. And we need to show them that we are taking advantage of every minute. Making the most of every opportunity that we have. What's the impact of punctuality on visitors? Many times, and I know that we do. We try to be early. Sometimes, you know, we're right there at the bell, but we try to be early. And when we're visiting somewhere, I make it a point to be early because I want to meet people. I want to talk to people. I want to, you know, see what kind of atmosphere there is in a congregation. And what does it tell people if we don't come in on time? It's not really a high priority. Being early many times would be the only opportunity to greet and welcome visitors. Because one thing that I've noticed about people who visit most places, I think the church here in Auburn is a little different because folks hang out for a while. But most of the time, most places, people go. Service is over and they leave. So a lot of times, being early would be the only opportunity that you have. Now, after the classes or worship have begun, they won't be distracted. You know, one of the things that I've heard as a comment in other places is that nobody talked to me. You know, nobody greeted me. Nobody said hi. Nobody asked who I was, where I was from. You know, is that important to you when you visit somewhere to meet people and find out something about the people that are there? Yeah. It makes us feel better that somebody cares and wants to know something about us. Well, this person that I actually got to talk to after they didn't come back to worship, that's what they told me. And they said the whole time during the Bible class and the sermon, all they could think about was how unfriendly people were. You know, will we leave a lasting impression on people? Absolutely. And it'll either be good or it'll be bad.
You know, one of the weaknesses we did have at the University Church, and I'm not going to complain about the college class, it's going to be our adult class in the auditorium. that is one of the patterns we're having. So none of you guys are in class and you're okay, but we do tend to have people come in late and sit in the balcony. And I guess they do that so not to disturb others, but what happens in that case, they can't even participate in the class. And they probably can't even hear all the discussion, and it affects them. And to me, I wish we had everybody there on time and where they could take part. Because in doing that, they're actually probably limited in what they can hear in discussion. And so I can see that having a real impact, having taught that class, for those that come in late.
Maybe we ought to move the podium up some more and nobody sit on the back two rows, so that gives the latecomers a place to go.
We will consider all solutions. We got to get them in there in time, yeah. Though, you said.
Yeah. The problem is it's not getting there on time. It's like this discussion we're having tonight. We need to have this discussion with people who are habitually late. And hopefully, we all know people who are late all the time. Don't you? Everybody knows somebody who's late everywhere they go. This is one of those topics that we need to talk to people about and help them with. It's like Larry was talking about in the sermon this evening. That's what we're here for, is to help people solve and overcome the problems that they have in life. Because a small problem at some point turns into a big problem. Because a small drinking problem, if it's not overcome, can turn into a big drinking problem. And I'm with Larry on that. I did the same thing he did, is I went out and I got drunk one time. And I felt so bad the next day, I said, I will never do that again. But I've got one part of my family that were alcoholics. And I thought, after that, if there is some kind of alcoholic gene and I've got it, the simplest way to never have that problem is not to drink. So I don't, and I haven't. Sometimes the solution is so simple that you don't have to overthink it. Punctuality is one of those things. But it takes time, it takes effort, and it takes commitment. How easy is it to hit the snooze alarm? I know one of you guys said sleeping. I like to sleep. I just don't get to do much of it. How easy is it to roll over and keep hitting that snooze alarm? At some point, you got to say, this is important enough to not hit the snooze alarm. Were your commanding officer, will they take excuses if you're late?
No, they won't.
No. So you learn. Get up. Get up. It's important. What's the impact of punctuality on ourselves? We'll have no need for embarrassment or excuses. How many times have we been driving to worship or somewhere else that we know we're going to be late, and on the way there, we're coming up with a reason that they'll believe? Anybody else done that besides me? We all have. If you're on time and you value other people's time and your impact on them, you'll be on time. You won't have to worry about being embarrassed. I've got here, it will make us better people. Ecclesiastes 3:1. Before you turn there, what's Ecclesiastes 3:1 talking about?
There's a time for everything.
There's a time. That's right. And it shows that we recognize that. And we recognize the importance of time. It will provide a positive example to those who are visiting. It will provide a positive example to those whom we're to edify. How many times has somebody come in late and you've seen people? This is what it looks like. Right? That's it. What does that do? It takes the focus off what we're supposed to be thinking about and puts it on something else. You know, how simple a thing could it be for Satan to distract us from our main motivation and intention and worship? It's just somebody coming in late. And it seems innocent enough. But it's not. Any of you read the Screwtape letters? I don't know if Larry would, but I recommend you read that. Because it's a different perspective. It shows you just little twists of things that Satan does to get to us, to just distract us, take our focus away. Most importantly, it will demonstrate our honor for God. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, it's on the outline. It says, "We then, as workers together with Him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For He says, 'In an acceptable time, I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation.'" What's the most important minute of your day today? Right now. You can't get back what's gone. You have no idea what's going to happen, you know, 5 minutes from now. I could fall over in this chair. Some of you are probably hoping that right now. But we don't know. Now, notice he says that twice in this passage. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Romans 13 and verse 11. "And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep, for now your salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." Gets closer and closer and closer. As Larry suggested this evening, Jesus could come tonight. The important things that need to be done, we should do now. And not wait another minute. I like what William Shakespeare said. I wrote it here. "Better 3 hours too soon than a minute too late." The common expression is "better late than never," but we should say "better never late." That's one of my pet peeves. And people have always kind of criticized me because I'm be on time. Be on time. Don't just be on time, be early. Because really, when it comes to worship and Bible study, doesn't being early show that you have some anticipation of what's about to happen, of what you're about to do, and how important it is? Some people may think that punctuality is a virtue of the board, but I would tell you that punctuality is a virtue of faithful. And the people that you want to spend your life with and eternity with. I hope that you'd be that kind of person. Any questions or anything before we close?
I just have to say one thing. You're talking about the military, they don't accept many excuses. One of the kind of the sayings is almost a kind of a joke in the Army anyways, is that we always hurry up and wait. You know, we got to be somewhere. We're going to be 30 minutes early. Don't ever let somebody have to wait on you. Be the one that's waiting on somebody else.
That's right, this person to be. It shows in the Army and everything else, it shows the seriousness of what you're about to do. It
takes a lot of pre-planning.
And there are people who will help. If you have issues with children, talk to people who have had children. If you've got issues with your spouse, talk to people who have had issues with their spouse. How to deal with those problems. There is no problem that you are going to face that somebody else hadn't faced already. And it's our job, our duty, as older Christians, to help you with those problems. You know, and I love to do that. I'm sure Larry and Yvette, they love that too. So don't cheat an old guy or an old gal, an old Christian, out of the privilege of helping you when you need help. Because that's what we're here for.
Appreciate it, Brother Johnson. I'm going to turn off the recorders and tell Jeff here.